Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening here on Blog Talk Radio, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091. Or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Welcome to Elevated Places. I am your host, Ava Muhammad, and we are live on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. That's blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. So please feel free to contact your friends via Twitter and Facebook and have them log in so they can join this program and listen in. We have a very exciting, uplifting, and enlightening program, as we always do. I want to greet all of you in the words of peace of Assalamu Alaikum and say how grateful I am to be back in the Elevated Places studio here in Chicago, Illinois. And I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. I was blessed to be invited this past weekend to the great city of Detroit, Michigan, Motown. And I was the guest of Girl to Goddess Mentoring Program, which is headed by the beautiful Mahalika Muhammad. And I also had the honor of speaking at giving the Sunday lecture at Muhammad Mosque No. 1 in Detroit. And on Saturday, when I was addressing women and their daughters, and we even had some single fathers who were raising girls who were part of the audience, I looked up, and who did I see but the fabulous LaDonna Muhammad, who's our IT specialist on Elevated Places. And then I looked to the left, and there, standing there looking like GQ, cool as a cucumber, I see this brother, and I said, wow, that looks like Brother Terrence. And lo and behold, it was Brother Terrence. And I'm still determined to get to the root of my investigation to see if he is one of triplets or possibly sextuplets, because he is everywhere. So how are you feeling? Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam. I am feeling great, martastic.
All right. But we cannot ask for better than that. And I'm going to ask you to give us a brief update on news around the nation that you may have. I do want to mention that before we move into our program, which is exceedingly powerful this evening, I want to make note of the fact that Susan Rice, the UN ambassador, who was appointed by President Obama today, withdrew her name from consideration as President Obama's new Secretary of State when Secretary Clinton leaves early in 2013. And I saw the statement that Dr. Rice gave, and she naturally was citing the impediments that are looming, this little trio of senators in particular.
McCain.
Yes, and McCain, who is openly bitter about losing the 08 election.
Right.
And along with others who are really, they really manufactured a problem that didn't even exist as far as Ambassador Rice and her involvement, which is non-existent in the Benghazi tragedy. And I just wanted, the reason I brought it up, Brother Terrence, is Michael Eric Dyson was on Martin Bashir on MSNBC today, and he talked about the pattern of racism, you know, that we're seeing in our face. Eric Holder, who was the victim of a technical lynching earlier this year, dragged through the mud on television, but when he was cleared of the charges of wrongdoing in this Fast and Furious gun operation, you didn't hear anything about that.
At all.
Nothing. And then not to mention the president himself, who even into his second term is still being charged with being a citizen of Kenya, being some underground jihadist, to use their term, who went into the White House simply to position himself to take America down, and on and on and on. And so, you know, those of us living in this dream world of a post-racial America, we really need to wake up and smell the coffee. But just wanted to make note of that. What's going on around the nation, Brother Terrence?
Well, I mean, really, that was the main story that I had initially wanted to bring out, the issue of Susan Rice.
Oh, yes, sir. Okay.
Rice. But, you know, it was interesting part of her letter, you know, and this whole issue of what's going on with Israel and Palestine, that in her letter she said, you know, the unwavering support of Israel. In her letter, she was just talking about different things that she stands for, and it just continues to amaze me how we're looking at this whole situation that's starting to develop with over in the Middle East. But that is a interesting situation, and you know, there's more. I think if we listen a little bit more attentively, we'll find out more outside of the reason that she gave that she stepped to the side. Especially in lieu of we are getting ready to go into 2013, and there's plans for the inauguration and things are getting set up for that, and what will that look like, and what will be kicked off, and what will be the major issues for President Obama. And usually around this time, something starts to escalate, and we start hearing more rumors and rumors of wars, and we'll actually probably go into something very soon. So I think we should be aware of that. And, of course, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Savior's Day is just around the corner. For more information, go to NOI.org and hear about the economic blueprint and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as the subject for Savior's Day this year. And one last point as we get ready to move on, you did a wonderful and powerful job in Detroit, and it was funny. Great job. But it was a point that you made as we're talking about this whole issue of separation and doing for self and our economic power. You mentioned that the corner stores in our neighborhood that our black community go to, there are no trucks that back up to these little corner stores. So where is this food coming from? You know, what kind of food are we getting? But it was interesting. I went to a gas station the other day, and I saw these crates and crates of alcohol just being brought in, just truckloads of alcohol. And I asked the lady, I said, how many times do y'all restock alcohol at your store? She said 2 times a week. I mean, not just a little bit of alcohol, I mean stacks and stacks.
My
She's
God.
Like, Ice House is my greatest seller. And I just thought about in this particular city, there's like maybe 5 or 6 or 7 little gas stations on this one little street within a half a mile. And I'm just thinking about how much they're supplied. So when we think about this economic blueprint, we're a rich group of poor people. And I think we need to decide where we're spending our money. But that's my take on the nation as we wait to hear from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And please do not forget, Sister Ava, that people can check you out coming up soon in another city near you. right up the street in the Mid-Atlantic, and I hope you can expound on that more on your subject in Baltimore, Maryland, on December the 23rd.
Yeah, Baltimore. I'm always excited to go to B-Town. It's such a unique place. And, yes, sir, I will be there from the 22nd through the 24th, and we'll definitely get more into that. In the meantime, we have some issues that confront us as individuals, you know, because Brother Terrence, and we're also joined now by Dr. Ridley Muhammad, the agricultural economist, who is such a supreme contributor to Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridley.
Well, Islam, Minister Ava, and Brother Terrence.
Good to have you on the panel. You know, Minister Farrakhan has done so much work that we lose it. It's like Motown trying to remember all the artists. There's so many superstars on that roster that you can barely think of the artists and the music they produce. It's just so voluminous. It's the same thing with the minister's work. And one of the hallmarks, I believe, of his legacy in the future will be self-improvement, the basis for community development. And, you know, we can't be any greater as a nation or a people than the individuals that comprise that nation, that community that makes up that nation. And so I think it is always to our benefit to take time to evaluate self-development. And we're so blessed because, you know, in Elevated Places, we promise you, the listeners, the very best that life has to offer, and we're delivering once again on that tonight. And we have a guest on the line, and that guest is Norma Hollis, Norma T. Hollis. And let me tell you who Norma Hollis is. First of all, remember this after tonight. This is the voice doctor. Now, we got the math doctor. This is the voice doctor. She is America's leading authentic voice doctor. And you're going to find out more about that, because I know one thing I've learned in life, and most of you that are on the line, and we certainly want you to join this conversation. I neglected to put the phone number over the air, though many of you have it. But for the new listeners, we have a guest call-in number for you to be in the discussion, and that's 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091. 5091. But you know, our success in life depends on the ability to communicate. And that's something we just don't automatically have. And I think all of us, I know I can always use some help with being more effective, because most of the time we're not coming across the way we think we are when we're dealing with people. And then we walk away saying, what happened? But Norma Hollis is an internationally acclaimed speaker, author, mentor, entrepreneur, and she has delivered authenticity presentations, authenticity, to thousands of people. She has spent 30 years studying human nature, and she has emerged as America's leading authentic voice doctor. This is a woman who is transforming lives across the country. And we just got through talking about Detroit, Brother Terrence. Norma received her Bachelor of Arts from Michigan State, her Master's from Walden University. She attended Wayne State University, and she was a Management Fellow at UCLA, Anderson School of Management. This sister was the first African-American woman to open a speakers bureau focused on African Americans. And that was in 1996. So she had to navigate her way through what was previously a closed industry. And she emerged from that as the CEO of the largest speakers bureau in the world, owned by an African American woman. Sister Norma builds companies that serve the human spirit, develop human potential, and provide a catalyst for improving the quality of life. And after the show, please go to normahollis.com, and we'll give you a little more on that later. But right now, I want to give an Elevated Places welcome to Norma Hollis. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome, Sister Norma.
Thank you so much for having me on your show, Sister Ava Muhammad. I truly appreciate being here.
Oh, listen, this is great, and it's great for me and the team and the listeners. Why don't you tell us something about, you know, you chose that word authenticity and actually have made a goal of that. And can you tell us what that's about?
Yeah, you say I chose the word. Actually, I think it was chosen for me. This whole path was not something that I chose, but something that over the course of my life I've been directed to follow and to do. So it's been a very interesting path of
yes,
just,
ma'am.
You know, following, you know, the inner voice and doing
yes.
that. But authenticity is all about being real. And when you get down to mm-hmm. the core of it, it's about being the person that God intended you to be. And you, mm-hmm. you know that by looking at your gifts and talents and being real with that. So being authentic begins with communicating with yourself. Being able to read your inner voice, to know that, because how else do you communicate with God? How else do you communicate with the way your gifts and talents, what they are and how you are to use them in the world? And then it from there goes to communicating with people around you so that as you go through life using these gifts and talents, you can put them in the right place. And then expressing yourself in such a way that your gifts and talents take care of you and allow you to be sustainable. So that's the foundation of the authenticity in a nutshell. That's a real
yes.
brief nutshell of what is a very in-depth program.
Yes. And, you know, in the black community, of course, which is our particular focus, where do you see the consequences? What are the negative consequences of that particular skill set being lacking in our community?
You know, well, we're actually seeing it now. We become very blinded because we put on masks. I mean, going through life itself requires all of us to put on masks at some point in time, whether it's the first time that we cried and we were told to be quiet, or whether it's when we were, you know, doing something, one of our gifts, and we were told to do it differently, or whatever. But all of us have something that caused us, as we adjusted to life on planet Earth in this society, that caused us to put on a mask that kind of shielded and hid the person who we naturally are. Now, some of those masks are healthy because we have to adjust to the structure within society. But some of those masks are unhealthy, and they become so permanent that we forget that they were temporary and were just there to hold us for a while. And that's what causes us to lose our authenticity, and why the work that we do on helping people become more authentic is more important, to help them remove the mask and get past the layers of stuff that they've had to go through to survive on the planet, and actually find ways to really communicate with themselves more effectively, to find the ways that they can be themselves more happily, with more joy, going through their journey in life.
It's interesting because I think it was yesterday, Minister Farrakhan tweeted that happiness comes when a person understands their purpose for existence and fulfill that purpose. They understand it and fulfill it. And I love what you said a moment ago, that your direction, your path in life is not so much a choice as it is the spirit driving you in a certain direction. And unfortunately, so many of us don't have that connection. And I know in the public school system, we don't hear anything like this being given to our young children. I don't even know if the teachers who are in front of them, have been successful in developing this ability that you're talking about. So how do you, or are there any steps or tips or techniques that people can even begin on their own to employ to discover their individual purpose?
Well, it starts with, first of all, being familiar with yourself and being able to read your own inner voice as it speaks to you, because that's the foundation. So there's that's the first part. And that what I suggest to people there is to, number one, look at how you talk to yourself, because everyone does that. We don't always realize it, but we have an inner voice, and it talks to us all the time. And it's the same voice that answers us when we ask in the morning, what shall I wear? Or when we're hungry, we say, what shall I eat? And the answer comes maybe as a thought, as a feeling, as a memory, as something in the gut. You know, however it comes, gives you a clue for how your voice speaks to you. And then when you find that voice speaking to you, then you test it. When it first started with me, I was a child. I was only 8 years old, and the voices started, you know, I started to recognize this voice, this inner voice talking to me and trying to get my attention. And I just said to it, okay, if you're the real voice that I should listen to, then you should be pretty powerful because you got my attention, right? So, right? So if you're really that voice, then in the next week, let me see somebody with red socks. Let them cross my path. And then let me hear somebody mention the word elephant. And then it would happen. And I would test it again in different ways two or three or four times and find it's like, well, you know, do you believe me now? So it taught me how to listen to how I communicated and then to trust it to know if it was the right voice. And I've been trusting that voice ever since. And it's made a difference. It's given me a sense of grounding. People tell me about, when they say things about me, what they're generally referring to is that I'm grounded and that I know why I'm here. And that's, I would agree with Minister Farrakhan, that knowing your purpose gives you a sense of authenticity that gives you a sense of joy. So the second part that I want to mention about finding yourself is knowing what your gifts and talents are. And there's a number of what I call wisdom gifts that are a clue to where your gifts lie. And within each gift, there are multiple jobs that can be considered. So, like, one gift is verbal, people who like to speak. And that includes writing. It includes listening. It includes speaking. It includes editing. There's anything that deals with words, whether spoken or written, which is numerous jobs from all different pay rates. So that's one area. Another area might be visual. And visual is people who are very spatially oriented. Maybe they like to do puzzles, for example. They like color a lot. And a lot of them are artists. They're fine artists. They're graphic artists. They're interior designers. They're drafters. Different things of that nature. There's a wide range there. There's also musical. People know what musical is, and all the ranges there. You know, you can sing, you can dance, you can play music, you can write it, depending on what your combination of gifts are. There's kinesthetic, people who like to move around, the dancers, your athletes. There's mathematical, logical, which is people who are problem solvers, not just good with math, but they see big picture and like to solve problems. There's nature, people that learn by being outdoors. There's interpersonal, people that learn by being around other people. And intrapersonal, people that learn by going within. So once you know where your gifts are, then you kind of know where to begin to explore to where your career, where your most appropriate, authentic, happiest, most joyful career could be.
So I want to jump in here and ask a particular question. So with this understanding, because you laid out some very, very powerful things for me personally.
Okay.
So how do you help people shape, you know, once they kind of find a yearning? I love to talk, and I can talk all day long, and I realize that there may be a gift in there, but I just love to just talk at a drop of a dime to shape and craft maybe that particular talent in them to find a particular area in the market or a job field. Do you help with that? And with that, when you do shape and find who you are, how does a person keep that authenticity as we see a lot of artists that may be in the industry keep their real self? And I say that because I remember NDRE was with her, and she was just speaking how on this album she was able to just really, really be free, and it took a while to come back because she had to find herself and be able to express herself without anyone telling her what to sing, how to sing, in that way.
Right. Well, you know, I think the higher level you go in life, the more the challenge is because you have more people vying for your attention and attempting to tell you who you should be in order to generate more money. Now, authenticity puts purpose over profit. And what happens so much is we put profit over purpose, and that's
right.
Where we get out of sync. So as long as you remember to put purpose over profit, generally you know, you come back into balance. If even if you get off balance, if you come back to your inner voice and what's your purpose, it puts you back in sync. Now, the way I work with people is, you know, the program that I developed took me 30 years of studying human nature from both personal, professional, and spiritual perspectives. And so what I've done is I've taken all that I've learned over these 30 years and turned it into a very simple 9-question assessment that I call the authenticity assessment. And when people take the assessment, you get the opportunity. First of all, you get your scores, but then you also get the opportunity to have a free 15-minute consultation that helps you to interpret your scores. And so that's what I suggest for people, because we have a number of different products and services. But the scores, people, when they get their scores, they see one score. And what I see and people that I've trained have see, and we see 16 different scores that give us a real good view of who you are and where you may need some balance in your life. And then we can direct you to some of the products and services that we offer from all different price ranges, including free, that could assist you to move yourself forward.
And, of course, you can go to your website to find out about the consultations and the 9 points.
But what you need to do when you go to the website, normahollis.com, click on number 3. Number 3 takes you right to the authenticity assessment. And when you take the assessment, you will get your score, and then you will get an email inviting you to have this free consultation. And you can pick the time range that works for you, and then you'll get a schedule. So
that's
normahollis.com. Uh-huh.
That sounds real good.
Yes,
oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Susan.
No, go right ahead.
No, because you know, this is really, really intriguing me, because when you spoke about one of the things that, you know, we were taught that, you know, there's God speaks to us, and you know, when you avoid, you kill the messenger of God when you deny listening to that voice, and you hear that voice inside, and you just turn it off, don't pay any attention to it, and you're
right.
Deadly, you know, killing yourself because you're not paying attention to that inner voice. And I guess in this, you know, this putting this together, how do you know, like you said, you tested your voice. How do you know which voice is the right voice? Because, you know, we do have other voices that come in and tell us to do things that may not be that good. How do you discern that voice, and how do you call on that voice to do the things that you said? Because what you talked about is saying, well, make this happen, make that happen. How do you pull? I mean, what is that voice that you say? Sometimes I hear, you know, a voice that you need to listen to give you direction versus you actually talking to your voice and telling your voice to make something happen.
Right. And your voice can do that for you. Yes, it can happen. Exactly. Well, it's two things. It's research and relationship. So in the discernment process, you're doing research. So what I suggested to you first is to see how does the voice speak to you. When the voice is the right voice that tells you what to wear in the morning, because you leave your house every day with clothes on. And generally they're matching or they're appropriate for where you're going. So that's an appropriate voice to listen to. And so how does that come? Begin to examine what works within you after you ask that question. Do you see a picture? Do you remember something? Do you feel something? So just start tuning in a little bit and just see how that works for you. And then the same thing kind of when you go to eat, especially when you eat healthy food versus food you know you shouldn't eat. See how it feels. See how it comes to you. See how you react to it. That's your research. You're seeing how it works. And then do some more research by occasionally building the relationship by asking the voice to do something for you. So now you're kind of seeing how it works. So you're starting to talk to it, or whether you do it consciously or unconsciously, you're building a recognition of it being there. You'll find it saying things to you. You'll find it. You may find synchronicities happening in your life. You think about something and it shows up, for example, or you think about someone and they call you. And generally, what I suggest to people is when you find yourself saying, "Dang, I knew I should have," when you start
right.
saying that less frequently,
yes. mm-hmm.
then you know you're more connected, because that's yeah. the voice that's trying to get your attention. And you say, "Dang, you know, it told me to do that, but I didn't do it. I knew I should have done that." And then when
right.
you stop, when you find yourself, well, I haven't said that in a while. I guess I'm listening. I'm paying more attention. Ooh, this is good. Let me pay attention some more. And then it just makes sense. And now what I discovered and what I've done with the work that I've done is I have steps. I have workbooks for 9 areas that help you to be authentic. And one area is called intuition. And in the intuition portion, and the ambassadors that would do the one-on-one with you would help you know if this is an area that might benefit you, there's 8 steps to becoming more intuitive. And so we take you through these 8 steps to what they are and how you can meditate and how you can connect more and how you can be more discerning about when you should be more attentive. For example, step 1 of the discernment is what I call the distractions. And the distractions is when spirits kind of get trying to get your attention, but you're not paying attention. And I know for me what happens, I look down at my hands and I've got cuts. Either I was cutting in my kitchen and I just wasn't paying attention and I cut myself, or I'm ironing and I burned myself or something. And matter of fact, just 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I looked down and I said, oh my gosh, I have 3 cuts on my hand. What's going on? What am I not paying attention to? Let me sit down a minute and just chill and meditate and see what I can get. And I worked that out. I could see what it was and I worked it out. So you begin to build a relationship with that voice. I call your unseen supporters that are there on your behalf. And you just build a relationship where you can talk to that voice and you can begin to ask it for things and it will respond and you'll begin to recognize it.
Wow.
That's like the secret. It's like how the secret works, if you will.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, what's so powerful also is that you are an example of what you're speaking of, in the sense that you're demonstrating through your life that whatever it is that ultimately manifests as our divine purpose, generally speaking, that is also the source of our livelihood.
Yes.
And I love your work because we really, as a people, have got to start breaking away from the bondage of job seeking as the only source of income, to go into work in somebody else's idea or somebody else's paradigm. Certainly that may be the case for many people, but I don't want us to be limited in that if we can't give a resume to somebody and get work with them, that really what God intended us to do also contains within it the source of our sustenance. And
exactly.
You, along with other people that you look around in this world, you thought outside the box. You allowed your creative self and your spiritual self to be free. And I think we're just so we're so inundated with different sources of stimulation coming out of the television and now through the internet that sort of herd us in like animals and make us just think we want things.
It's telling us who we should be, and that's not
right.
Who we should be. And who we should be is who God intended us to be. And we lose sight of that for want of the money. They teach us and make us, they create a society where the money requires you to do certain things. So it is a sacrifice. It has truly been a sacrifice for me to live this life. But as I look at it at this stage, and I look back at my friends who worked a 9-to-5 and stayed in the corporate life for 10 or 20 or 30 years, and true, they may have more cash flow than those that didn't, but so many of them are wondering, who am I? I'm not happy. Their marriages are falling apart, and they may have the money, but the wholeness of life is not there. Where those who follow the more entrepreneurial, let me follow my spirit path, who may not have had the money, have more joy. They don't look look more joyful, and their lives they seem to be more fulfilling. So in the long run, following that spirit, finding a way, you know, making the choice. You know, having children and mortgages, you know, that's how society traps us because we get mortgages and children so early in life and we're stuck. But just taking a little bit more time and really knowing who you are just makes all the difference in the world.
Mm, beautiful, beautiful. I want to go to the lines and get a couple of calls before we have to end this segment. We have Khalifa on the phone. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Wa alaikum assalam. Dr. Ava, and to the panelists, and to your guest, Sister Norma Hollis.
Thank you. Well,
I would just like to make a comment. I'm so thankful
for
the show, listening to your guest tonight, and it just makes me feel so good to know that we have such strong, you know, people from from our people and listen to it tonight. It bears witness in the Holy Quran where it says that, you know, you are not created without aim or purpose. And you see her developing and listening to that inner voice, you know. So that, I just felt so good when I was hearing the sister talk. And it just so good. You know, way bearing witness to what the Holy Quran is saying. That's all I wanted to comment on. I really enjoy that.
Oh, well, we're all appreciative of your comment, because really you're talking into what the whole purpose of Elevated Places is.
Right.
And that's what we want to hear you say, is that you feel good, because you can't be productive and have a fulfilling life unless you are feeling good. I know Sister Norma agrees with that.
Absolutely. There's nothing better than joy in your life, I'm telling you. It makes a difference, yeah. And it's so much about attitude, but there is joy everywhere, and it's life is so much better when you're joyful.
Yeah, and that, speak to that self-accusing spirit. So thank you so much. That's all I had to say.
You're welcome. Thank you for your comment.
Thank you, Brother Khalifa, for your call. We appreciate that so much. And, you know, as you were talking, Sister Norma, I was thinking of, I have the same experience that with so many people that I came up with and may have started out with early in career and may be doing well by society's definition in terms of, you know, in their investment portfolios or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, real freedom to me is having control over my time.
Yes.
Because you can, as I've heard somebody say, you can print money, you can replace money, but you cannot replace time.
Okay.
You know, once it's gone, you don't get it back. And, you know, billionaires would give all they have to get time back.
Right.
And I love that you're having this effect. You know, on, because I'm getting notes on the chat or on the screen as well from people, that what you are saying to us is so important. Because a lot of times too, we talk from a perspective of politics, economics, national as a group, but we live our lives as individuals.
Yeah,
you know, you come out of that womb by yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if you're a twin, one of you has to come out first, you know.
That's right.
You know, and so we, you know, as Minister Farrakhan says, you come here alone and you leave here alone. It's just you and God.
That's right. It is that all the way around, actually. Everybody, other people are around to support us, because if you really look at your life from a God perspective, then the people that come into your life have a bearing on what your purpose is, if you can find, once you know what that is. So it's just a matter of finding what the connection is regarding to, you know, connected to your purpose. And there, that's when you really grow, when you're able to see what that connection is and really build on it.
Oh, that is awesome. That is awesome. Well,
life is by design. God has his own design. You know, there's nothing that's not by accident, in my opinion, you know. With some, maybe
I agree.
Things, but yeah, exactly. So.
And
we forget
that.
This is how we choose to use it. Yes, we do, because we think we can control everything. You know, we're led to believe by society that we can be in charge, and that's the frustration, the stress that we feel, because we're not in charge. Well, guess what? You're not in charge.
And, you know, and it's funny that it's so funny that you say that, because I was reminded of a quote, something that Bruce Lee talked about. He said, have you noticed how a stiff tree, when something hits it, it breaks so easily and it snaps in a piece? But when you look at a bamboo stick, when the wind hits or when a force comes, it doesn't break as easily because it's not as stiff, it's not as rigid. It flows with life.
Yes.
Flow with life.
The rhythm,
That's right.
It's almost like you're saying, if you flow with yourself and flow with the rhythm and the nature in which you're created in your purpose, then it's you know, you will move more freely and be less, like you said, less stressed and less tense. And I know that. From studying martial arts, whenever I was starting one of my arts, they'll say, relax, and it's not, don't fight against yourself. He said, when you make an all tight fist and then punch, you are exerting energy before you even release it. So it's why fight against yourself? Just relax, and things will go your way a little bit more. So this is a wonderful conversation.
It is. And Sister Norma, before we let you go, you are embarking on a 15-city tour.
I'm working on it. I'm hoping to have this confirmed in the next, by the 1st of January.
Okay.
And so those that take the assessment at from my website will be able to be in my email database, so they'll be notified of our events, and I'd be happy to let you know, too. But we have 15 cities. I don't remember all of them, but I know some of them definitely include Chicago and definitely include Detroit, Atlanta, Orlando, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, St. Louis, L.A., Vegas, Oakland, and there's some others in there, too. And that will be for 2013, starting in March. So we're still in the development stage. And then we're also putting together an online curriculum. So all the workbooks I talked about, and when I talked about those gifts and talents that I mentioned, the different 8 gifts and talents, there'll be a workbook that will be online that people can take a class that will help you, that will allow you to be certified as an agent of authenticity and help you connect more with your authentic voice as well.
Well, you are one beautiful black woman, and
we are
really, really blessed to have you. And hope when you have some time, and I know you're extremely busy, so it's been a great, we're very grateful to you for taking time. And I want to say to the listeners, www.normahollis, H-O-L-L-I-S, all one word, normahollis.com. And so register so that, and I'm going to do that too when the show is over, so we can start getting the email notifications. And
yes,
so at this point, I'm sorry, go right ahead.
No, I just said it'd be great. We'd love to have your community. We have so much we'd love to share with you.
All righty, you got it. And thank you, Sister Norma. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to get into our discussion continuing from last week on economic independence. Thank you so much, Sister Norma, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Elevated Places. This is your host, Ava Muhammad, and I am joined by my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, and Elevated Places contributor, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. If you are just now joining us, please make sure that when you have an opportunity, you listen to the first half hour of the program, first 40 minutes. We just had Sister Norma Hollis. Sister Norma is the voice doctor. This is how she's known, and she is a phenomenal woman who teaches on authenticity, being real. Because we know, as Minister Farrakhan has developed a course, Self-Improvement, the Basis for Community Development, that while we talk a lot about community, we talk about nation, we talk about relationships, but remember, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, self first, then others. So there's the community self, but the community can't be of greater power or of greater quality than the combined power of the individuals that make up that community. And I'll just be very blunt. You know, one reason the Jewish community is so wealthy is because the individual members are wealthy. And so wealth, as Sister Norma just stressed to us, wealth is not so much about money. It's about knowing your purpose. It's about finding happiness through carrying out your purpose. And, of course, it's no coincidence, Messenger said there is no coincidence, that Minister Farrakhan tweeted that very thing yesterday on his Twitter page, where he said, happiness comes when a person understands their purpose for existence, and then they fulfill that purpose. And one quote I want to give from the Messenger, each of us is born with many talents, but each of us have a talent we can perform perfectly. So that's real joy when we find out that one thing we have, that we not only do it well, but we do it perfectly.
You know, and there's one thing that you added that, you know, as you're watching and as we're watching the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, every day the joy that he gets out of serving and the more that he goes inward to himself and listen, because he always have said he's a guided man. He is not self-guided. He is guided. So he listens to that voice, and he acts on inspiration. I remember him saying one time before that, you know, it was in a personal conversation. He said he had to remind the brother, told the brother, remind him of what he had said. He said a lot of times he says stuff out of inspiration because he's so in tune. And, you know, I think that greatest war that we have is our personal jihad. Once we master self, then there's nothing that we can't master outside of ourselves. So when you speak of the Jewish community, their children grow up with a self-identity and a self-worth, and they are taught that they deserve all of the wealth and riches that they have. So
That's right.
We grow up, we don't have a self-identity as a black male or female as we grow up, and we are not taught that we deserve the wealth of the world. So when Master Farah Muhammad gave us the 196,940,000 square miles, and he said it's ours, then that gives us a whole other perspective to look at.
Well said. And, you know, you just talked about the minister's joy in serving. You know, because this is a man that in front of us is living out his divine purpose, and we're seeing what you can achieve. I think sometimes we have trouble processing the reality that we can be in our purpose as effective as he is in his.
Right.
And so if you imagine, and this is one man, look at what he has done and is doing, a single individual.
Right.
So that if we would focus more, and as Brother Khalifa said, it was so refreshing to hear from Sister Norma, because it gives you a good feeling to know we have people like that in our community. That, you know, there's a pride factor that you're feeling, but it's also almost like it's like security, like we have each other's back. That every day we're producing stars that the Barack Obamas of the world, that Minister Farrakhan, these are not aberrations. But as a people, this is who we are. We're the best, you know, at what we do. And the minister is back in the United States. We're glad that he is back, because he actually worked himself to exhaustion.
Literally.
In the Caribbean. But that's how deep he is involved in his purpose.
Yes, and Salaam Alaikum, you know,
Walaikum Salaam.
When I was listening to Sister Norma and the conversation, and then to what Brother Terrence just said, something struck me. When we say, you know, when we grow up, you know, when we grow up, you see, I question whether we have grown up.
Yes,
Mr. Farrakhan is an example of a grown man, meaning that for him, word is bond, and bond is life. But for most of us, our word means nothing, not even to ourselves. So we're not disciplined even on what we say we're going to do. And then we expect others to depend on our word when we can't depend on it ourselves. And this where it comes self-improvement is the basis for community development, because how can we as a community develop when I cannot depend on you to keep your word? This means that I'm out here all by myself and I got to take care of everything myself because I can't depend on you to do your part, so I got to do your part as well as mine to make sure that it gets done. And in the end, I can't get much done by myself trying to do everything for myself. So this need for us to keep our word to ourselves, to our word to each other, to grow up and take responsibility. In other words, when you go on a course of action, you might run into problems. Well, if you don't want the problems, then don't go off on the road. But once you go off on the road and you know you have a destination, when you have a flat tire, you fix it. Okay? You don't sit on the side of the road and start crying. You get up and you fix it. So with an attitude of I will keep my word, and if it kills me, so be it, but I've kept my word. Now others can depend on you, and we can depend on each other, and now we can develop community. We can develop a nation. So this thing about the children of Israel and us being children, whereas Israel is grown up, the Jews are grown up. They take responsibility, and they also take responsibility for the future of their children. They take responsibility for that and pass down things to them. So it's time for us to grow up, and I think Mr. Farrakhan is the best example of a grown man. He takes responsibility. Even when we mess up, he takes that on himself as he taking the heat for it when he knows very well he gave us clear instructions and we messed up.
Yes, sir. Well said. I've had Dr. Salam on the line, and he had a comment, so let me get it open before we proceed. Dr. Salam, welcome back to Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ava Muhammad, and to Dr. Ridgely, and also Dr. Terrence.
That's right.
I tell you, brother, that was so very profound what you just said. And
wasn't
I also enjoyed Sister Norma Hollis. But, dear brother, you just stole my thunder. I was talking today to Brother David down in Atlantic City. And the very thing you just said, I also said. But part two of what you said is that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is not afraid of death. And I remember what Stuart Chase once said. He is a writer and a profound author. And he said, I am not afraid of death. It is the stake that one puts up for life. And that really matches our brother. And he never makes excuses for anything because he very seldom if ever makes a mistake. But the heart of a person has to be aligned with their speech. And I give that to the sister Norma. And Dr. Ava, I give it to you. Do not ever play yourself. Sure. I remember many times that I've listened to you, but one time was really special, and that's when you were here in Memphis. And Brother Kareem called me and said, could I get you on Sister Bev Johnson's show? And if you remember, that was when we took you out in Germantown, and you said you wouldn't have known that Germantown was even a part of Memphis. But it was very, very, the lights were out in the building that we went in, and we had to walk up the stairs in the dark. But after you finished, Sister Bell called me and said, brother, she said, I didn't even know what to ask that sister. She said, she just sat there, and I sat to your left, but I just watched her. She was just amazed. but she talked 30 minutes about you.
Wow.
You have to know, sister, that this is just my words. I see you as the most powerful black woman on this planet. And I'm not saying that for any gain. It's just my honest opinion, and other people think that. But I'm not afraid to say that. But one of the things that we have spent a lot of time doing is trying to revive some of the dead people in the clergy, pastors and all. And I remember someone saying that it is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men.
Mm.
And I think it's time that we go after our babies, not so much because they're our future. They are the present. They are with us presently. And if we don't show them a better example in the present, there will be no future. And the messenger was very, very clear in what he said. He never had a disagreement that I know of with any clergy or with any pastor. And I would just like to quote one thing, and then I'll hang up. The messenger said, in message to the black man in 1965, he said, by the help of Allah, I have and will still prove to you that Allah God has given me the only solution to our problem here under this race of merciless devils.
Mm-hmm.
If you can prove to me that you have a better solution for the future of our nation, I will bring my followers and myself and join you.
Mm.
That's right.
And if the solution given to me from Almighty Allah is best, then you come and your followers and join me.
That's right.
And I'll leave you with that and continue to listen.
Well, you left me speechless for a
minute. Well, you know, that is the only solution. And what the devil does, he comes up and he offers our leaders a few trinkets and some promises.
Right.
And, of course, we never get it written down, the promises. And then he leads our people astray. And then we turn around, the devil never gives them the promises. Our people, without false leadership, would find clear leadership. And so we thank Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and these type of programs to present our people a clean glass by which they can observe the other bifocals and realize that there's something better out here. But these people are not, our leaders are not stupid. Our leaders are sold out.
Exactly.
An easier route. So we thank Allah for those who have not sold out. And the ones right now, they're not with the minister. You know, I ain't listened to them but a minute. You know what I mean? Sorry.
Right.
They know
and
better.
That's exactly right. And as the sister said earlier, we get turned into focusing on the dollar.
Yes. Yes.
And we're taught and we know it to be true that the dollar has no intrinsic value. You know, I mentioned
yes.
that in Detroit that, you know, the dollar, to prove to them it has no intrinsic value, you can't wear a dollar to keep you warm, you know, when it's cold.
That's right.
You can't plant a dollar in the soil and a tomato or a navy
That's
bean
right.
comes up. Yeah, you can't put nails and hammered dollars together and build a house.
Yes.
It's a medium of exchange, and its value is determined by people that have real wealth, which is
yes.
land.
Yes.
You know, and of course, you know, and that's why it's so important to have an agricultural economist as
yes.
our Elevated Places contributor, because in this day and age, brothers and sisters, if we're talking about freedom, we don't need to have that conversation if we're not talking about land and if we're not talking about feeding ourselves. And I agree with you. The leadership, look, this message has been made so clear.
That's right.
And now, through the presidency of Barack Obama, we are seeing white people as the Satan that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us they were. And he had to get that across when they were offering integration.
Yes.
You know, and so when you think about what he had to come up against, and he's calling integration, the offer of it, hypocritical, and so he's viewed as a racist, a separatist, and everything else. But now we see in this election and the treatment of the president, the treatment of the attorney general, the treatment of the UN ambassador. Sister LaDonna and I were talking earlier about this tennis player, this white girl,
right,
the other day went out on a tennis court and put a fake breast on and was making mockery of Serena Williams, which when I saw the clip, I thought back to the minstrel shows. You know, blackface and the whole nine. This never ends.
Well, you know, there's a double-edged sword in this as well, in terms of this whole thing about these types of negative things they do to us. Yes, we should defend our president. We should defend Eric Holder. We should defend Susan Rice. But at the same time, while they got this one headline, there's another big one going on behind the scenes that we don't see, and that is that Bernanke yesterday is said that he already said he could put out $40 billion a month. He's not pulling that $40 billion back. He will put out another $85 billion a month until they bring unemployment down to 6.5%, which of course you can't do by just pumping money out, and then at the same time President Obama cannot pass any legislation to produce jobs. Produce, you know, fix the infrastructure. So this money then, who is this money going to? This money is going to their friends and bankers. And these bankers and these investment bankers are going to begin to buy farmland and jack the price of farmland up, that farmers are not going to be able to buy in the land. They're going to have to work for the Monsantos of the world, the international bankers of the world. They're taking land from beneath our feet by printing money and forcing prices to go up, forcing the price of food to go up, at the same time the price, the cost of producing the food to go up, so that farmers, even though there's a lot of money out there, they're not going to be able to get in the business and stay in the business. They're going to have to sell their farms, take the money and run, and the big corporations swoop it up. And while we should be fighting for our rights in terms of being respected, but in the meantime, we better put our little money together now and get us some land while the land is still there to be gotten.
That's right.
And really, we should see these attacks on the highest elected and appointed officials as something really not to get bogged down in, but to just show us what we're dealing with.
Right.
That it's just, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, Allah will make you separate.
That's
and
right.
We refuse to do it, so he's forcing it. I mean, really, we would be insane to fight back against the tide of separation. You know, white people themselves are disintegrating. They're not together among themselves. This has never been a nation. We've talked about the fact that the best they could do is come up with a United States. They're so divided among themselves, they're such enemies of one another that the only organizing principle they have is white supremacy.
Right.
That is their organizing principle. The only way Mississippi and New York can be part of the same nation is white supremacy.
Yes.
The Civil War showed how little they have in common with one another, even from state to state. And,
uh-huh,
you know, if you look at that movie Lincoln and you see the madness and the chaos, you know, that has and that movie, as the research department so acutely expressed, and accurately, I should say, expressed, that movie did not tell Steven Spielberg always portrays black people as passive victims with white people coming to our rescue. You know, but it's not as though the Civil War was the product of some beneficence on the part of Lincoln and white people, but it was the pushback from the slaves themselves, with the assistance of certain Caucasian people for a wide variety of motives that forced this country
yes.
to war. I mean, slavery was coming to an end itself. It was unsustainable. Black people were not going to submit to this, but for so long, you know?
Right, right. And like in the article that was written about the movie, you know, it was brought up this little point about this brother who came up to Lincoln in a uniform, and Lincoln offered him a job after the war. You know, black folks had jobs in the slavery, okay? We had skills. We didn't want to break out of slavery and get a job. We wanted to break out of slavery so that we can utilize our skills and get paid for ourselves.
That's
Otherwise,
right.
We wanted to be self-independent. We wanted to be able to produce and get paid for our production, not to go and work for somebody else. We didn't want to move from one plantation to another.
To another one, right.
This is the image that they gave in the movie, that he was just looking to move into another plantation. No, we weren't looking for that. But that's what they had steered us through sharecropping, and then through the present situation now, where we work on these corporations and they move us all around the country, and we lose ourselves, like the sister said, Sister Naomi said, running out to the almighty dollar. Then we wind up losing ourselves, losing our family. You know, this is not what we fought for in slavery, to get out of slavery, to go back into slavery. No, we've been tricked back, and we continually
yes.
trick back until we listen to the voice that makes sense. And the voice that makes sense is Honorable Elijah Muhammad and now Mr. Farrakhan. Do for self. Everybody else does for self. How come we see something wrong with doing something for ourselves? We have definitely been tricked, bamboozled, and hoodwinked, and we just must be scared as I don't know what, not just to do that which is natural.
All of that.
Well, we've got Brother Lewis with a question, and we certainly welcome his insight. Brother Lewis, assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to Elevated Places.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Ava, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, and my brother Terrence Muhammad.
Sir.
We're really enjoying this this show, and as I said before, Sister Ava, mm-hmm. your shows are really therapeutic for us down here in Louisiana.
Praise be to Allah.
I really thank you for doing these shows, because they help us to learn so much. I wish that one day maybe you would consider doing a show on Lincoln and Reconstruction, the real deal.
Oh, you got it.
Because it goes directly into what you're talking about tonight, in particular on economics, because I noticed that Spielberg... I think this is the same man that was responsible for producing The Color Purple.
It's him.
And he says he's from the Jewish community. And he took pride in showing Thaddeus Stevens in the bed with a black woman.
Right.
And they put that in the movie, but they didn't mention Thaddeus Stevens in the confiscation acts, legislation that he put forth in Louisiana and other places, where they were talking about the slaves taking land from the old Confederacy. They missed that part. But going right into Dr. Salam and what Dr. Ridgely said, and by the way, Dr. Ridgely, he's our big brother, and he does something real special on land literacy and has a book, Commonomics, Developing a Post-Yacoub Economy, and we've been using it as part of our think tank to really study on unity versus operational unity. And see, like, you know, sitting in a room together, that is a form of unity. It's very good. But I would like to hear the panel. I have some thoughts on it, but I really would like to hear y'all talk about operational unity.
Yeah.
And I want to just read a little something from Message to the Black Man, and I'll listen for y'all. And Message to the Black Man on page 195, where it talks about the economic program, point number three, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, not one so-called Negro seems to want to meet with me to discuss the plight of our poor people in North America.
Mm-mm-mm.
And I don't know if it changed since the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is present today with Minister Farrakhan, but I'll listen. And it says, I have set before you a program according to the divine supreme being and his prophets. You have neither produced a better program nor anything to its equal. Your present plans are involved in one of the most disgraceful programs, especially you who boast that you are free and want freedom, justice, and equality, and your slave masters by sitting, standing, and begging to be accepted as brothers of those who for 400 years have brought you into your present condition and have made you a people unwanted by civilized nations of the earth. So if y'all would you please elaborate on unity versus operational unity? And I'll listen. And we love what you're doing and hope that Dr. Rijli Muhammad will come and come into cities and speak more on land literacy. Thank y'all.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Brother Lewis. And you know what? What I'd like to do, Brother Terrence and Dr. Rijli, before you all elaborate on that, Brother Lewis talked, he gave me a perfect segue into the current edition of The Final Call. And at the center of course, the heading of that paper is a question, can Caribbean nations survive?
Right.
Can Caribbean nations survive? And we need to get an understanding of also of what the minister is doing when he goes to the Caribbean so frequently, because as he has said, and we know, and those of you that have been down there, and I've been blessed with my husband before we became parents, we went several times to several islands, and as the minister said, the closest you are going to get to paradise in the Western Hemisphere is the Caribbean. It is gorgeous, it's beautiful, it's close to what we as original people experienced in the beginning of this planet. And but he is saying to the island nations of the Caribbean, and talking to Barbados, which has the highest educational level of any island there, and I just wanted to lift something that he said. He said, I see the Caribbean being marginalized. I see the strength of the Caribbean economically being weakened, for it is the nations of the Caribbean that literally gave more in terms of contribution to the British economy that built Great Britain than any other of the possessions Britain had in the world. It is the West Indies that was rich in sugarcane and bananas, nutmeg, spices, all the things that the West Indies produced for Britain, Portugal, Spain, France. But now that we are becoming independent, these industries that once made money for others are not making money for us. And he says, today, with the University of the West Indies educational system in 18 English-speaking countries and territories, as well as other related institutions of learning throughout the Caribbean, the questions that we must answer are, what are we learning? And where do we go after we learn? Out of those who receive a tertiary education, 85 to 86% leave the Caribbean after they graduate and take the richness of their learning to the United States, the United Kingdom, and other parts of the world. But there is no appropriate industry developing in the Caribbean that would make use of the skills that they learn in college. And now the Caribbean is a so-called service-oriented industry, tourism. And he says, if we don't have industry beyond tourism, or if we are not in the business of supplying what tourists come to the West Indies to have, then as a people we go down economically, while those who own the hotels and own the things that cater to the tourists become wealthy. We are finding that foreigners own the best land. Now listen to this. Foreigners own the best land in the West Indies because they buy up what we once had. Why is that? Yes, they are helping us to build airports, seaports, electricity in needed places. But the burden of debt sometimes is so great from entering into contractual business arrangements with them. Since there has been a downturn in tourism since 2008, if we don't have some other backup for foreign exchange, we begin to slow down in the service that we give to those who depend on us. And I'm afraid that if we continue on this path, the West Indies will be, again, a place where the masses of black people are servants of others and not masters of our own destiny. And so I think, brothers, in that excerpt lifted from Minister Farrakhan's message to the leadership in Barbados, that's an example of not having operational unity.
Well, yes, and, you know, as an economist, you know, we can kind of get kind of boring to people because we got to take you through all these different steps for you to understand some things. So I'm just going to kind of explain a few of the things. Yes. A piece of land is only valued by what you can take from the land and to produce into a product and to get sold. Just like right here in farming, as a black farmer, I cannot get money from the government to do value-added processing. They will give me money to study where I can take my product and get it processed, but they won't loan me money to set up a processing plant on the farm. The same way down in the islands. They used to produce the raw product, sell it to England, sell it to France. England and France had the manufacturing plants, and they would transform it, then sell it back as manufactured good at a much higher price back down to the islands. Now, we can set up plants as well, but where are we going to sell our product? Because a black man's product, ice, is not as cold as a white man's ice. Same way, Stephen Marbury, he goes to China, he gets some shoes made. Same manufacturing plant that produces Air Jordans. But because he's Stephen Marbury, young black boys are ashamed to wear his shoes because his shoes only cost $35, whereas Air Jordan costs $120, $150, $200. So they figure because it costs that much more, it must be better. So therefore, you win. So therefore, it's devalued. So this whole power, the power of the mind to devalue one set of products versus another product, is the power of the system. And that's what makes you either successful or non-successful in international markets or even local markets, is the perception that this system puts on your product. So long as we are in this system, depending on the TV and advertising and education in this system has made you to want to have latte versus coffee. So they go to school in America, they learn how to drink latte. When they go back home, they can't find latte, so they go to America, they go back to Britain because they have been acculturated to this standard of living in that West, and theirs is not good enough to drink coffee. So it's a whole set of processes that it all deals with who do you love, whose voice are you going to listen to, and who are you going to serve. We come out of school to make money quick. We don't want to serve nobody. We want to be served, and therefore we get tricked. The slave master, slave trade, the trader made an interpretation. We receive more gold for our labor than we will receive in our own country. Then did we receive the gold? No. And we've still been running after that gold, that carrot, that bucket of gold to keep moving from rainbow to rainbow and take us away from ourselves and away from our land.
Wow. Well, that was not boring.
At all.
Well,
this is where we got to be. And I know the callers, the listeners are loving this because we have to press this, and we got to get this across to our children, you know. And I have that with mine, and that is so true. That whole Western mind orientation, and this is why separation is so crucial. That mind orientation, as you said, to the idea that because I pay more, it's better. Like my husband says all the time, my husband says, black people, we get robbed and brag about it. You know, we run out and say, I pay $80,000 for my Lexus. And the white boy got it for $35,000. Because, first of all, he had cash.
Come on.
You know, because one economic law Jews follow, they don't borrow money.
Thank you.
To acquire a liability.
Go ahead.
You know, a car is a liability. It's not an asset because it depreciates from the moment you turn the ignition on. It's going.
Right.
I don't care if it's a Lamborghini. I don't care what it is. It's a car.
Right.
It's a car, and eventually it's gonna deteriorate and it's gonna disintegrate. You know, I love what you just said, Dr. Ridge, and we on this phone, we've got to get this across to our children. We have a better shot with them because than ourselves because Norma said it. We come out, we start having babies and acquiring mortgages.
Yes.
And see now as the minister is exposing, and that's why he's so hated because he busts up all of the systems that they have in place. But this whole thing of indebting college students.
Yes.
You know, where you come out of college and you owe $100,000?
Come on now.
In student loans and you haven't been to work day one. You don't have a job. You're still at home with your parents.
Right. You know, Roland Kirk called it volunteer slavery.
That's
Roger
what it is
Roland
because
Kirk.
The 13th Amendment only prohibits involuntary service. So they moved over into voluntary servitude is completely legal.
Right.
It's legal. I mean, it's like this. You would go out and borrow money to buy a Lamborghini or a Mercedes-Benz, and they would give you the money for that. But you go out and try to buy a tractor for a farm, all of a sudden your credit rating just dropped through the floor. And black people have known this for ages. When you're trying to borrow money to set up a business, go into
That's
business,
right.
there is no money. But if you want to buy something foolish, here it is. You got it. Okay? So this is how they use money to steer us in all of the wrong directions. And now we must come to a principle of service to each other as being the raison d'etre for getting education and why I'm trying to do things. I want to figure out a way to help my brother and my sister, and they're going to figure out a way to help me. And together we're going to do some things instead of me trying to figure out a way to be Yaqub all over again. That is to figure out a way to get my brother to be my slave. This is the trick we in now. Okay? We get to get out of that trick. Yaqub is over. Let's figure out a way that we can all help each other get up out of this and come back into our own and be ourselves.
And, you know, and it's funny that you said that, Dr. Ridgey, and that just made me think about how you would say money is what we use. And then it's almost like, you know, to be a slave, we're a slave to that money, so we don't want to do
nothing
for ourselves because if we can get, somebody can give us some money to do nothing, we would rather do that. So to work and make your own money, that then you're not being a slave, you're being free, but to be free means work. And
that's right.
So people do not want to work. We want to be given the money. So if you are complacent and stay in your place and regurgitate and learn the degree that you need and go into the workforce, you will get paid to be a slave in a system that is not your own. And I think when we go back to the point of Sister Norma, which made me think about us as we're winding down the hour, as I thought about you, Dr. Rizzo, you love doing what you're doing, but it's work, but there's a love for it because you're living out your purpose. I love even me coming to Detroit. There was an issue with my car going to the airport. I didn't stop and just not cancel the whole trip. I left the car there, took care of everything I needed to take care of, and got a pass from the airport to get on the plane. I didn't stop because I love to travel and I love to do what I need to do, and even just securing the minister. And then when I got to Detroit and heard you, Sister Ava, say, I love defending FireCon. Defending FireCon is not an easy job, but you do it with ease because you love it. Because when you were trying to send the messenger of God against a whole world that tried to kill him, it is not an easy job to defend that man. But you can defend it with ease out of the love, so you can feed a people who don't even want to be fed or want to even live down on that farm because you have a love for what you do. And I think that's where when we deal with this operational or unity, we have to find in love, and that's where the ministries come in, where people can go into a ministry that the minister has set up for us to find something that we love to do, and we can come together based on what we love to do and build real unity.
Oh, Allahu Akbar. And I'm going to, I want to let Brother Joseph get in before we, because we're winding down. And I just want to make this comment that the other beauty of all of us finding our own purpose is, as Mother Tynetta Muhammad has said, it eliminates envy. It eliminates insecurity.
That's
see,
right.
Once you know what God gave you, you don't worry. In fact, you take pride. One thing I see in the minister, he loves excellence.
That's
he
right.
admires achievement. He embraces it. He wants superior performance and competence. He doesn't feel threatened by anybody.
That's right.
You know, and so that will get us past that side of us that impedes our brother and sister when we feel threatened by our brother or sister's gifts. But Brother Joseph from Baton Rouge, assalamu alaikum, welcome back to Elevated Places. If you can, I'm sorry you held for so long, but we wanted to let you get a quick comment in.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate it. Thank you. And,
yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, ma'am. I want to say thanks to you, to your guest, Dr. Wrigley, Brother Terrence, and I caught the end of the sister, I think Ms. Norma.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And the last part that she said, really, I mean, if she, whatever she said, that last part really got me through as well, as thinking and understanding who you are. And by we being in the nation, that thought came to me when I was like mama say, don't, he say, accept your own and be yourself. And being yourself is a righteous Muslim, meaning that being obedient and trying to do things. And I just want to read this just about when y'all was talking about the land and Dr. Rigger was saying about how we don't realize and understand the power that we got when it comes down to the unity. And that goes back to in the book of the Deuteronomy in the 28th chapter. And it mentioned about the blessing and the cursing for being obedient. And I want to say this too. That's by why I like what I'm doing. I'm a carpenter. I got my own business down in Baton Rouge. Me and Brother Lewis, we work closely together. And I love doing it myself. I would have it no other way. And I got told him, I'd rather sleep in a holly log and drink muddy water before I go back and work on this white man's job.
Come on.
That's right. And by being that way, you know, I just can't see it. And being obedient is a difference in trying to do a sacrifice. Because you cannot sacrifice unless you obey. And I just want to read a few of these, just 2 minutes. When they say about the blessing of the Christian, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments that I am giving you today, he didn't say tomorrow, he say today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your field will be blessed, your crops, your flock, the breadboard will be blessed. Whatever you do, wherever you go, you will be blessed. I want to say obedience will get us these blessings. And
yes,
we are
sir.
Taught that obedience is the highest form. I'm sorry, sacrifice the highest form of obedience.
Thank
I want to thank you, Sister Ava. Thank you,
Dr.
Brickley and the rest of the guests. And may Allah continue to bless us and bless our minister and our nation. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Allah is God. I can't think of a better way to close out the program than with that reading. That was phenomenal. and true. And I want to say thank you, of course, to Brother Terrence Muhammad, my phenomenal co-host, to Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, who you really put us on point tonight, our guest, Sister Norma Hollis, who you can please go to her website at normahollis.com. I also remember, I want to thank Sister Rona Muhammad, our producer, and Brother Bobby Muhammad, who actually developed the line of questions for Sister Norma this evening, and of course, Sister LaDonna Muhammad, without whom we couldn't even be on the air. I could not handle the switchboard without her. And I thank all of the listeners so much, and please visit me at avaspeaks.com for all the lectures, books, DVDs, and CDs. And inshallah, we will be with you next week. Thank you all so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for listening to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us every Thursday here on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. If you are a member of our Blog Talk Radio family and you enjoyed the show today, mark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, the new era will be feminine in nature.